sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey, we're back, as usual. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and joining me is my worthy co-host, Sarah Waits.
Hello, everyone. So when we were apologizing via email for being out, I told people that if they had any show suggestions or questions they had about the abortion issue, that they could just simply reply to the email and those would go straight to my inbox. And we got some responses from that, and we're going to go over a couple of them. So the first is from Dave Melanchesky. So Dave suggested that we discuss how and why the Kansas Value Them Both Amendment was defeated.
Yeah, that was right after the fall of Roe. Mm-hmm. There was a thing scheduled in Kansas. The pro-life side lost that one pretty handily. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the pro-aborts, as you can expect them to do, have tried to make hay out of that and saying, well, here, even in this rock-ribbed conservative state.
Even they support, yeah.
Yeah, the public supports abortion rights.
Yeah.
That's a bad conclusion to mm-hmm. have drawn from that. And I've had several people from Kansas that I've talked to about this. And even among the pro-life community, even within the pro-life circles, there's disagreement about what happened and why it was. I don't know what happened up there. I don't for a moment believe that Kansas is this radically pro-abortion state. I looked at it and the language of the thing was so confusing.
Yeah.
You really didn't know if you were voting yes. You didn't know if that was a pro-life vote or voting no is a pro-life vote.
Well, you get that sometimes with ballots.
Yeah, and it's intentionally done, I think, mm-hmm. in a lot of cases. So I don't know that this was a pure referendum on that. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of different conjecture about why that happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that really why it happened is important. I think what's important for the pro-life movement to realize is this was the first battle out.
Mm-hmm. Look at World War II. There's going to be some battles that you lose. The important thing is that you win the war.
I was just fixing to say, when American forces got involved in World War II and when we went to Africa, mm-hmm. the first time out against the Nazis, the American troops just got mauled mm-hmm. and got slaughtered. And it was a wake-up call because Americans went into that war saying, okay, everybody else telling the British.
Stand aside.
Telling the
British, Americans are here.
The British had been fighting in Africa, North Africa, for well over a year and had chased Rommel all over North Africa. And the Americans come in with this typical American attitude.
Cowboy.
Right. Stand back. I'll show you how this is done. Y'all sit over there and drink some iced tea. I'll show you how this is done. And the Americans just got slaughtered over there. Mm-hmm. But we eventually won. Mm-hmm. So don't let the fact that you lose the first battle mm-hmm. cause you to think that the sky is falling, because it's not.
Yeah.
The pro-aborts are whistling past the graveyard if they think that that is symbolic of what would happen, let's say, in Texas or any other.
Well, it's what they want you to believe.
That's what they want you to believe. Because what they're trying to do, really,
is get you to stop fighting.
Is to get you to quit. To discourage the pro-life movement to the point that you quit. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not about to do that, obviously. Or I hope we're not about to do that. But anyway, I don't know what happened in Kansas. And I don't think anybody can tell us with any degree of certainty that, oh, this is exactly what happened right here. We don't know that.
I think one day when legalized abortion is all said and done and they do the numerous books about the time period that abortion was legal, I think there's going to be a number of books discussing this Value Them Both Amendment and talking about what went wrong and their opinions on it, just like anything else in history.
Why did this turn out not to be a barometer mm-hmm. for how the whole pro-life movement is going to go?
Yeah. So thank you, Dave, for sending in your show suggestion. And I just want to say I loved his signature at the end. He signed it, St. Mary, Kansas, where families with 9 or 10 kids are considered normal.
Right.
So great. Thank you, Dave. Frank Schell also replied to us. And of course, we've had Frank on our show Life Talk before.
And a longtime Life Dynamics supporter.
So Frank wrote, I have been telling people sitting on the fence that future generations will judge them not by their pro-choice signs, but by the pictures of aborted babies. If they want to see how they'll be judged, see how the Germans were judged after World War II, when the pictures of the concentration camps went public. That is how they will be judged by future generations.
Absolutely. And we've made this point before. You know, we can read about things that went on during the time of slavery here in the mm-hmm. United States.
Yeah.
And we can say, how could we have done that? How could our country, mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely,
that's not the kind of people we are. How could we have done that sort of thing? And you read about specific instances or specific patterns that developed during slavery. And you just think, that's incomprehensible. What was wrong with these people?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
One day, this world's going to look back on the era of legalized abortion and say the same thing about us. Mm-hmm. How could these people have been involved in this? How can they do this sort of thing? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the age of stupidity. You know, I've been making the joke lately that we have the Bronze Age and the Iron Age and the, you know, whatever. Someday people are going to look back on this era and say, this was the age of stupidity. These people couldn't tell the difference between men and women. Mm-hmm. They thought men could get pregnant. They thought unborn babies were just globs of tissue, despite the fact that they had absolute irrefutable scientific proof that that wasn't the case.
Even if we just set aside the pictures of aborted babies, which just like the pictures from slavery, just like the pictures from the Holocaust, the pictures from war, any genocide or horrible atrocity, those photos show you the reality of right. what's going on. But if we set that aside, there are so many other things that come along with it that I think that we're going to be judged by.
Legalized abortion opens the door, is what you're saying.
You were talking about how the pro-choice side is calling them a glob of cells, despite the fact and the evidence that they are absolutely human. And going along with that is the harvesting and sale of aborted baby parts.
Well, yeah. You know, we were, of course, the organization that mm-hmm. uncovered that and exposed it. And I told people at the time, because I would be on a talk show, and even these pro-aborts would call in and say, whoa, wait a minute, this is wrong. We're not in support. Don't try to blame us for that. We're not supporting that. And I would point out to these people, well, you're intellectually dishonest. Once you accept legalized abortion, you have to take everything that goes along with it.
Well, and if your belief is that the unborn are just globs of cells or just parts, what separates them from any other cell or, you know, chemical that we test with in medical science? When you're saying that they're not really human, so therefore it doesn't matter what we do to them, you're already condoning those types of experiments.
Yeah, where do you get the gall to say, we can kill them, but we can't chop them up and sell them?
Yeah.
But we can butcher them. And
the logic doesn't hold water.
No.
And in that report that we released, we also have a number of the orders from people who were requesting the parts. And of course, a number of them were orders for people who worked for children's hospitals, if you can believe it or not, the hypocrisy of that. But here's just a few of the phrases that were found on a number of these reports. Intact brains preferred, but large pieces of brain may be usable. Tissue should be removed and prepared within a maximum of 10 minutes after circulation has stopped. Arms and legs do not have to be intact. They may be separated at the joints. Whole eyes 20 to 24 weeks. Remove eye with as much optic nerve intact as possible and within 2 hours if possible. Need not have entire specimen as long as the spinal column is intact. Requested 12 to 15 week liver, whole if possible, to be used for primate implantation.
Yep.
These are all phrases from different body part orders, essentially.
Right, that we had, mm-hmm. that we got from our undercover investigation. By the way, let me point out, nobody has ever challenged whether mm-hmm. they were legitimate or not, because we had the originals.
Yeah.
They knew they couldn't challenge it. But again, you cannot accept legalized slaughter of these children mm-hmm. and then get upset about these things. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You're part of this problem. Mm-hmm. It'd be like when the Nazis would steal gold out of people's teeth that they were executing. Mm-hmm. And it would be like somebody coming out and saying, oh, well, I don't mind them being executed, but I don't think it's right.
But they went too far by taking their teeth.
Taking the gold out of their teeth.
Yeah.
Do what? No, if you sign up for one, you sign up for the whole thing. There's an old saying, you can't have Falstaff and have him thin. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same thing is true here. And we have opened the door for all these other things, mm-hmm. as if just the killing of the babies wasn't bad enough. We got all these other ancillary things that we have to accept.
I think another thing that's going to be written about a bunch is going to be the outrage over the protection of pedophiles by the abortion industry.
Yeah. You know, I am so angry right now, and I've got to where I can't even watch this nitwit Beto O'Rourke that's running for governor of Texas. Mm-hmm. He's got an ad out right now attacking Abbott, governor of Texas, for banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. Mm-hmm. Beto O'Rourke's argument is that this forces a girl who's pregnant by her father mm-hmm. to continue the pregnancy. Well, listen, if a guy is having sex with his kid or his stepchild or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, he's having sex with a minor girl. nothing protects him better than a secret abortion.
Yeah.
Nothing. This is a good example of how these people, like Beto O'Rourke, turn things exactly 180 degrees opposite mm-hmm. of what's true.
Yeah, and we had a report on that, an investigation, where we actually called, was it 816 abortion clinics, mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood, and NAF clinics. The caller portrayed herself as a 13-year-old girl pregnant right. by a 22-year-old guy. She indicated that she was seeking an abortion to hide the sexual relationship from her parents.
Right.
Never was it disclosed that her parents were going to beat her or, you know,
abuse her,
anything else like right. that. She was just trying to conceal an illegal relationship.
And protect her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Routinely, we found that the clinics instructed the caller to either lie about or conceal her age or the age of the man who impregnated her. They also advised her about ways that she could circumvent the state's parental notification laws. They suggested she use a fictitious name, phone number, or address when she came to the facility. They also suggested to keep the situation hidden by altering what she would say when she came to the facility. Sometimes they would tell her that they couldn't help her because they already had too much information to call somebody else and not give that information out.
Right.
And there were a few that even went so far as to provide step-by-step instructions on how to do a judicial bypass.
Well, one of the most egregious things they did was in states that require parental notification, mm-hmm. she would often be told to go outside the state. They say, well, you're in Indiana, you can't do that here, but next door in Illinois, you can. So here's the phone number of an Illinois abortion clinic.
And what 13-year-old girl do they think has a driver's license?
Well, we'd always have her say that. She'd mm-hmm. say, well, I don't have a car and I don't even have a driver's license. Well, can't your boyfriend take you?
So they're advising.
They're advising a minor statutory rape victim to let the rapist
take her out of state
take
for
her
abortion.
Out of the state for an abortion without letting her parents know.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
It's outrageous.
But if you're going to accept abortion, mm-hmm. you're going to accept these kind of people because that's the kind of people that get involved with abortion provision.
Well, and if you think that all these things that we're saying about what the clinics are doing do not have an impact on the victims of statutory rape, we did a follow-up report to that where we show actual cases of girls who were raped by adult men. And they were taken for abortions, and it was clear that the abortion clinics didn't report, considering the amount of time that lapsed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a number of cases where the rape continued for years before it was caught by somebody else. In just one example, this is John Blanks. According to court documents, Blanks began having sex with his daughter, quote, Brandy, we've changed the name for privacy reasons, when she was 13. The abuse continued almost nightly until age of 18 when she revealed it to a coach at her school and the authorities were then notified.
Because he knows he's a mandatory reporter just like these abortion clinics were.
Yep. In the legal proceedings that followed, it was revealed that Brandy had become pregnant at 16 and Blanks forced her to undergo an abortion at a Planned Parenthood facility in Mount Auburn. Brandy later testified that even though her father helped her complete the paperwork at the clinic, signed the consent forms for the procedure, and remained nearby during almost every step of the process, she was able to tell the clinic staff that he was forcing her to have sex with him. Despite that, it is evident that no report was filed with the clinic since he continued to rape Brandy for another year and a half after the abortion.
Yep. The American pedophile has no bigger friend than the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. They will protect him. And why do they do that? Because he's the one with the money.
Absolutely.
He's the guy with the money. You know, in that undercover investigation we did that we're talking about, very often these people would say, when she described the situation, they'd tell her, well, look, that's statutory rape and we're mandated by the law to report that. Mm-hmm. But if you won't give us your real name, don't give us your real phone number, we don't look at identification, we don't check IDs, we don't do anything like that.
Like I said, sometimes they told her, like, we're required to send something out to your parents, but if you give us your boyfriend's address or you give us a fake address, that letter will be sent out, it'll go to nobody, and then the waiting time will be over, and then you can just come in and get your abortion.
One of them even told her, said, give us a fake address, we'll send it there, mm-hmm. it'll come back to us, and then we'll have that to show that we made an attempt to contact your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So they were clearly protecting these mm-hmm. pedophiles.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder how many other girls they were told this to, or how many men they told this to.
Right.
A guy says, my daughter's coming in for an abortion, but you guys don't tell anybody, right?
Yeah, well, we found a bunch of cases of that. You know, we found one in Florida where this girl was being raped by a guy that had purchased her. and this is a trafficking situation. He had purchased her in Vietnam when she was 5 years old, and he started having sex with her right off the bat. Mm-hmm. By the time they caught him, she was, I think, 19, and they were able to document that between the time she was 12 and 19, she had, I can't remember now, it was either 6 or 7 abortions.
Man.
And they were, I think, all but one done at the same facility. Well, why did they go back to the same facility?
Because he knows that they won't report.
He knows they won't say anything. So he kept taking her back to the same place.
You go for the first one and nobody ever comes knocking on your door.
And no abortion clinic ever reported this. It only became known when the girl told one of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend's father happened to be an FBI agent. And the girl told her father. And the next thing you know, the perpetrator of that deal was a guy named George Joseph England.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up in Florida State Penitentiary, which is where he is right now.
Well, didn't it come under the authorities the first time and he fleed?
Well, that was in California. He left California. He was under indictment because he also raped one of the friends of the little girl he had purchased.
Mm-hmm.
He raped one of her little friends, and he's under indictment. But the state of California let him out on bail, and he runs off to Florida and takes the girl with him.
Well, this is not the only thing that's going on in clinics that is being concealed about. We've documented how women are often raped or sexually assaulted inside abortion clinics.
Right. It's not uncommon at all.
It's not uncommon. It's been going on for years. And considering the way that this pattern is and how long it's been going on, I mean, it's kind of laughable to think that the abortion industry has no idea that this is going on.
They absolutely, positively know it's going on. There's no way they cannot know it's going on. And they will often cover up for it. And we had the situation where Brian Finkel, the abortionist there that I had a few run-ins with while he was still out free, he was raping his patients, and we knew it. And so did his staff. They were covering up for him.
Mm-hmm.
But there came a point at which some of the staff members told him, we're no longer covering up for you anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to come forward.
Well, that's because a whole bunch of women had come forward. They were just like, you know, we're not going to go down with you.
Yeah, over 100 women came forward.
Yeah.
And he was eventually convicted. He's still in the Arizona State Penitentiary right now. He got 34 and a half years, if I remember correctly.
We have the police tapes of the interviews with some of his clinic workers. And of course, like everything else that we're talking about, we'll have the link in the description if you want to go hear that. But
yeah, it's pretty revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And he even was arrogant enough to tell one of the detectives when they said that some of your employees are coming forward now. It's not just the girls. It's not a he said, she said anymore. It's a whole bunch of people said, and then you said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm not worried about that. My employees won't testify against me. They know I have guns and I know how to use them. He's telling this to a
police officer in an interrogation?
Yeah.
Wow.
I talked to that officer and she said, I could not believe what I was hearing. The arrogance of this guy. But he'd been getting away with it for years. And, you know, he thought he could continue to get away with it. And people say, well, what does that have to do with abortion? What it has to do with is abortionist.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, and even the medical community, the part of the medical community that's pro-choice, will tell you, if you get them aside, or sometimes they'll even write it in public, that I may be pro-choice, but I'm telling you, the people that work at abortion clinics are the scum, the washouts, the losers, and the moral degenerates of the medical community. Nobody wants to be an abortionist.
Mm-hmm. Nobody really wants to be associated with abortionists.
Or have anything to do with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take legalized abortion, this is what you get.
We have found bizarre and disgusting behavior from people who work in the clinics. I think it was you who told me one time that there were pro-lifers outside this abortion clinic, and the staff inside it, in order to mess with the pro-lifers, began holding up eyes from the babies.
Yeah, they would take them over to the window that was nearest the sidewalk where the pro-life counselors were, and they would tap on the window and have them come over. They'd hold up these eyes. They'd have a little sign there. It'd say, here's looking at you, kid. And we had other situations where, and some of these were in court documents that we found, they would put the heads of the babies in a
Rubber glove
and play pitch with them in the hallways.
Ugh.
They would grab the baby's two legs and play
the wishbone
thing. Deal. You think, well, were these people screwed up like that when they got hired? Probably not. But you can't work in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a good example of this was, again, going back to the Nazi situation. When the Nazis were executing their victims by shooting them, they started finding out that they were having massive psychological problems with the men who were doing this. There was a report I saw called Men on the Rim. It related to men who sit on the rim of a hole in the ground and shoot people through the back of the head, people that they don't know and they don't hate. You do that all day long, and eventually you destroy the people who are doing the shooting.
Yeah.
And that's what the Nazis were finding out. That was the impetus behind going to gas chambers as opposed to shooting, was to insulate the killers from the victims. So when you legalize abortion, if you're going to do abortions, you got to have abortionists, and you screw these people up, even if they're not screwed up when they start. And a lot of them already were screwed up before they got started. Mm-hmm. But I've had a lot of interaction with these people over the years. I'm convinced that a lot of them were just people that went to work. Maybe they thought, oh, I'm philosophically pro-choice, having never thought about the actual performance mm-hmm. of it. And then they get in there, and what they see inside the abortion clinic screws them up.
Yeah, there's a quote in Lime 5, and I can't remember who said it, but it was one of these people who worked in an abortion clinic. And in the quote, it was talking about how clinic workers may say they support abortion, but none of them really want to be involved with it. They don't want to deal with the baby parts. They don't want to deal with the gore.
Right.
They may support, quote, quote, the theory of right to choose, but when it comes to the actual minutia of it, they don't like it.
Well, that's the origin of the internal battle that we've talked about between the doers and the talkers in the abortion industry. There's mm-hmm. two levels of pro-choice people. They're the people that work in the clinics and do the abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people who don't work in the clinics who are just philosophically defending legalized abortion. They're politicians or they're members of the public or whatever, and they're pro-choice. And I've had this interaction with a lot of these clinic workers over the years, and they'd say they hate those talkers more than we do. Because
mm-hmm.
they say these people get out there on national television and they've got a fancy suit on and they just had a big $200 lunch in Washington, D.C. And they can go on national television and talk about the beauty of choice and how wonderful this is. They couldn't last 30 minutes in an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
If they had to deal with what I deal with every day and see these parts and not only see the residual of what's done to the baby, but what's done to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
These people will talk about having to hold the hands of these women as they dismiss them. And one of them said, a woman says to me, I think I just killed my baby. And she says, I don't know what to say to her. Because mm-hmm. that's exactly what she did do. And she said, so these people get on their high and mighty high horse on national television and talk about how wonderful choice is. And they couldn't last 30 minutes in this abortion clinic.
Well, and that's not even talking about the babies who are born alive and then left to die, which we have seen
documented. Or intentionally killed.
Yes. In our American Abortion Clinic interview with the three clinic workers, they talk about how Carpin was snipping the necks and the spinal cords of the babies.
Or twisting their heads off.
But we've seen numerous cases where babies were just set aside, left to die. In Lime 5, it talks about a Texas abortionist who was performing an abortion. When a foot-long infant girl was born, she came out fully intact. The clinic workers testified that the baby curled up in the abortionist's hand and attempted to breathe as the abortionist held the placenta over her face. He then dropped her into a bucket of water, and several employees testified that bubbles rose to the surface. They went on to say that the abortionist then dropped the fetus into a plastic bag. They call it a fetus at this point. The bag was tied and placed at the end of the operating room. The sides of the bag pulsated as though someone were breathing into it until the bag stopped moving.
Yep.
Well, so basically, they suffocated that baby.
Well, we had a situation, I think it was in Florida, mm-hmm. where they were putting the babies in bags and throwing them on the roof of the clinic.
I mean, we've seen this numerous times.
We've seen things similar to this and some things worse that I don't even want to talk about here.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact is, when you accept legalized abortion, you have to be ready, willing, and able to accept all these other things because that's part of the deal.
Another thing that we've seen that the industry knows about but doesn't care are the women who are attacked for refusing to have abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes beyond the cover-up by the clinics. The mainstream media is not really reporting on this, honestly. And I think this is going to be one of the things that people look back and say, how? How could a industry that's supposed to report news, how is a country that's supposed to care about domestic violence, completely ignore these women who are killed because they refuse to have abortions? What happened to the quote, quote, philosophy of choice? Did those women really have a choice when they were being murdered?
Yep.
You know, what do you say to that?
And the abortion industry is fully aware. Some of them have even publicly talked about the fact that a lot of their clients are being forced to be there and don't really want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Dallas abortionist years ago said, you know, we talk about choice, but a lot of these women wish they didn't have a choice. They're here making a choice that somebody else made for them.
Mm-hmm.
The man that got them pregnant, a parent, someone like that, is not the person that's having the abortion that's making this choice. And what we saw was, and what we documented, you can go to our...
We'll have the link in the description.
Under the Radar Violence. That when women don't exercise their right to choose, a lot of times somebody else will exercise that right for them. And if they object, they'll wind up in a nursing home or they'll wind up on a slab at the coroner's office.
Yeah. In that report, you can read case after case of what happened to those women.
And all we reported on, mm-hmm. all that we put in that report is women who were actually killed.
Yeah.
We didn't put in there the ones that we found that were, like I said, put in a nursing home or just had the crap beat out of them.
Or even the ones that were killed. We didn't even include every single case.
No, we only included about half of what we found.
Mm-hmm. And that's just what we found.
And I think we have about 100 cases in there, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some of the females that are in that report are as young as like 15 years old.
Oh, yeah, right. And they get killed because they refuse to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of cover-ups, I think we would be remiss to talk about the cover-up of abortion injuries and deaths by the CDC.
What makes me angry about this situation, and I hear this all the time now, especially from conservatives and Republicans that are now all aghast mm-hmm. at what they're finding out about the CDC as it relates to COVID mm-hmm. and some of the other things that have happened lately, and they're finding out that the CDC is a snake pit. In 1996, when I released Lyme 5, I had a whole chapter in there on the CDC. A whole entire chapter, and I wrote in there, and this was in 1996, mm-hmm. that the CDC is a political organization, and that it is a snake pit of hardcore leftist political ideologies and agendas, and it has nothing to do with surveilling the nation's health care. And we knew this in the pro-life movement because I wrote about it in 1996. We knew it then, mm-hmm. but even a lot of conservatives and Republicans didn't.
They didn't believe it.
They didn't believe it. They didn't buy into it. They didn't look into it. We weren't asking anybody to take our word for it. Check it out for yourself.
Well, at the time, there was something that was called the Abortion Surveillance Branch, which yeah. they don't have anymore, but they were in charge of surveilling abortion injuries and deaths and
that sort of thing. Well, all morbidity and mortality, yeah.
And you reported that at the time, it was run and being operated by people who were working as abortionists.
Right.
Who had connections to Planned Parenthood, National Abortion Federation. That's a complete conflict of interest.
They had a very incestuous relationship with the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. Just to give you one example, mm-hmm. on the issue of morbidity studies, how many times somebody was injured, mm-hmm. the way the system worked at the CDC, and I'm supposing it probably still does work this way, is that they would hire abortion clinics to tell the CDC what the morbidity rate was.
You're kidding.
Oh, no. They have what they call GIPSA studies. Mm-hmm. And the CDC would hire abortion clinics, pay them money, and say, now you tell us how often injuries happen. Okay. Now, they take that information.
Wow. Imagine if the CDC went to some of the tobacco companies and paid right. them money and said, please tell us
how safe or dangerous
tobacco is. They'd be like, oh, thank you for this money. Oh, it's completely safe.
Oh, yeah.
No one dies.
No problems with tobacco. But anyway, the incestuous part of this deal was they'd pay the abortion clinics for the mm-hmm. data. Mm-hmm. The abortion clinics would give it back to them and tell them, okay, this is how often women never get hurt, never die, never mm-hmm. have any problems. Then the CDC puts that out as a study,
official government study
on morbidity and mortality, which the abortion industry then says to their patients.
Look, the CDC found that abortion is safe.
Right. It was the most
wow.
It was the most corrupt.
That's
system.
Shady.
It is very shady.
With a capital S.
I can't remember her name now, but at the time, the CDC was being overseen by a woman. And understand this. CDC has 6,000 employees at that time. Their budget was over $250,000 an hour mm-hmm. in 1996. It's probably four times that much now.
Yeah.
But 6,000 employees, one employee was responsible for signing off on all the morbidity and mortality statistics put out by the CDC.
One employee. That's going to be real accurate data when you've got one employee.
One employee is responsible for putting that out. She was a board member of the National Abortion Federation. Now, do the math and tell me what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
The CDC always had this kind of pristine image, kind of like the FBI had. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, the emperor has no clothes. We now see that the CDC is a scam. Mm-hmm. And we see that the FBI is corrupt. But we told people more than 25 years ago mm-hmm. that the CDC was corrupt. And nobody was listening. But we had the absolute irrefutable proof that that was true. It was not our theory. We had the proof, and you can read it in line 5.
That reminds me of the report we released called Racial Targeting. We found that a disproportionate number of abortion clinics are placed in minority communities.
Right.
And the statistics on that are so overwhelming, you can't say that it's by accident or by happenstance. And it's certainly not based on, quote, quote, need for abortion. It's done demographically.
Right.
We identified 116 zip codes with more than one, what we call population control facility, so abortion clinic. Of those, 84 were disproportionately Black or Hispanic. What this means is that when the family planning industry places multiple facilities in a zip code, that zip code is more than 2.5 times more likely to be disproportionately minority-based. Now,
again, we've proven with MAFA 21 mm-hmm. that the motive behind the legalization of abortion had nothing to do with women's rights or reproductive freedom or any of that other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It was eugenics and Black genocide. And everything that's happened since it was legalized had reinforced that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, this is just a handful of the things that right. I think later generations are going to come back and look at and say, how in the world did our country tolerate
how
all
stupid
of these
were
things?
These people? Yep, there's going to be a price to pay for that one day. But anyway, that's all I got.
That's all I have. If you have any suggestions like Frank or Dave, please don't hesitate to go to lifedynamics.com/podcast. We have a form right there on the page where you can submit your show suggestions or questions about abortion.
Yep. Anyway, that's all I've got. Until next time, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning's how the killing stops. We'll see you next Thursday.
Bye, guys.